Welcome to The Crossing, the sermon podcast from Washington National Cathedral. We're so glad you're with us, and we hope this week's episode gives you comfort and inspiration. Be sure to check out our other Crossing podcast, Tower Talks, where you can find untold stories from cathedral docents, volunteers, staff, and artists who have each helped make the cathedral into the national treasure we all love. And now, enjoy this week's.
Please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our collective hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The gospel lesson you just heard is the fourth major teaching of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. The first being the Sermon on the Mount, followed by mission activity, then the lessons in the parables, and then this teaching we hear today, everyone's favorite, about conflict. Conflict, reconciliation, forgiveness. Call me crazy, but I actually find it a hopeful note that conflict in the church and between one another is not a new phenomena. And Jesus gives us some important teaching, saying that it's not just important for us to seek reconciliation, repentance, and forgiveness. It's imperative. Now, I want to be clear when I'm speaking this morning that I'm not talking about abusive relationships or those that truly are injurious to our physical, emotional, and mental well-being. Those are in a different category. But I'm talking about the church and our relationships one with another. The central mission of the church, as understood in the teaching in our church, is to unite all people to God and to each other and to Christ, in Christ, to restore broken relationships. And can't we all relate that when we have broken relationships, it's hard. It's hard to carry that pain, that guilt, that shame, if you will, with us. Frederick Buechner put it this way, that when somebody you've wronged forgives you, you're spared the dull and self-diminishing throb of a guilty conscience. When you forgive somebody who's wronged you, you're spared the dismal corrosion of bitterness and wounded pride. For both parties, forgiveness means the freedom again to be at peace inside their own skins and to be glad in each other's presence. Who wouldn't want that? Jesus gives us lessons that it's incumbent upon us, when appropriate, to take the initiative one on one. And we know that's not easy, it takes a lot of courage. In reading and remembering this gospel story, I was reminded of a time in my own life when this happened. And it continues to teach me. I actually shared this story about 10 years ago at the cathedral, and some of you told me it was helpful to you and you took action to bring a relationship that was broken back together. And I can only hope that sharing this story again will have that effect on some of you. Many years ago, long before I was ordained, I was in lay leadership at my home church. And a member of the community who was very important to me, I loved this man, he was a mentor and I respected him, came to me and asked me, out of my position of authority in this church, if I could help to get this one thing done. Now, it was a reasonable request, but he knew, and I knew, that it was really going to be difficult, given the personalities and the situation at hand. If it had been easy, you wouldn't come to ask me. And even though it was difficult, I committed to try. And is my nature, as is my nature, I quietly, behind the scenes, tried to see if I could get this thing done. And I was totally unsuccessful. So, again, quietly, behind the scenes, I met with some of the former people who'd been in lay leadership at the church and tried to enlist their support. And to a person, each one tried and failed miserably. But time passed, and more time passed. And finally, my friend reached out to me and asked if he could meet with me, and I said, of course. It had been about a year since he had first asked to meet with me and made this request that was very important to him. And to my horror and shame, he proceeded to tell me how badly I had hurt him and how deeply disappointed in me he was. I was shocked. You see, my sin was one of omission. And what I thought was a way of proceeding, trying to spare him any hurt and pain during this process of trying to get this thing done, I hadn't supplied, let's call them status reports. What he experienced was a year of silence. He felt I hadn't listened, and worse, that I didn't care. He took the initiative to tell me how badly I had hurt him, which gave me the opportunity to tell him what I'd been trying to do, for me to ask for forgiveness and to receive it. And he died 3 months later. If he had not come to me with a hurting heart to tell me that I had broken a relationship that mattered so much to both of us, I would never have known. Most of the time, I think we're painfully aware of when we've hurt another person, when we have breached a relationship. But there are times when we don't know. Jesus invites us to take the initiative to heal these broken relationships when we can, so that we, as Buechner says, will have the freedom again to be at peace inside our own skin and to be glad in each other's presence. You see, forgiveness doesn't happen by default. It requires some action on our part. And it's important. You don't need me to tell you about the conflict and broken relationships in the church writ large, in our country, in the global community, We have a lot of work to do, and it begins with you and with me. In his landmark book, Jesus and the Disinherited, Howard Thurman put it this way about forgiveness, and he draws on the gospel lesson you'll hear next week on forgiveness. You know the story. Peter asked Jesus, how many times are we to forgive? And Peter thinks he's coming up with a big number when he offers seven. And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Essentially saying there's no quota that we ever hit on forgiveness. And Thurman said this, in Jesus' insistence that we should forgive 70 times seven, there seems to be the assumption that forgiveness is mandatory for three reasons. First, God forgives again and again for what we do intentionally and unintentionally. Second, no evil deed represents the full intent of the doer. Third, the evildoer does not go unpunished. Life is its own restraint. In the wide sweep of the ebb and flow of moral law, our deeds track us down, and doer and deed meet. My friends, I invite you today to pray about Jesus' teaching, Jesus' imperative about the broken relationships in our lives. And if this is the time, prayerfully, for you to consider reaching out to do so. Remember, Jesus said, when two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in their midst. William Sloan Coffin, wrapping all of this up, said, we all belong to one another. That's the way God made us. Christ died to keep us that way. Our sin is only and always that we put asunder what God has joined together. Remember, forgiveness doesn't happen by default. Amen.